Just a few days before the making of this tape, a present was given to me. It was the latest long-playing record containing the whole of the Masonic ritual music by Jean Sibelius, the renowned Finnish composer. Amongst the many items recorded are the words and music for the three craft degrees, and these are now the required accompaniment of these ceremonies in that country. The words of one of the hymns contain some sentiments not unfamiliar to brethren of the English Constitution. Good and pleasant, O ye brethren, 'tis to dwell in unity, strong to fight each other's battles, faithful to our mystic tie. I start by mentioning this collection of Masonic items from another shore in order to show that it is not only English Freemasons who enjoy the pleasure of musical accompaniment in their ceremonies. Indeed, the Masons of Austria were able to have the benefit of lodge music from no less a person than Mozart, long before this kind of benefit was normal in Britain. Other composers of standing who were Masons were Haydn and Arthur Sullivan, the latter of Gilbert and Sullivan fame. Yet this tape is not meant to be an introduction to the riches of Masonic music in general, a subject perhaps for another tape in this series, but a basic guide to the items which are familiar to a great many ordinary Masons in English and Welsh lodges today. Even though excessive use of music in the course of craft ceremonies was discouraged by a circular from the United Grand Lodge a few years ago, it is still evident that some music persists, and it will be as well if we can identify what it is that we are using and appreciate the ancestry of what we otherwise take so easily for granted. Many of you will know what I mean when I remind you of some words that are almost casually spoken by the worshipful master, either after the display of the warrant authorizing the particular lodge meeting, or the actual opening of the lodge. Brethren, we will now sing the opening ode. Have you ever asked yourself why we sing these particular words, and where exactly these three verses come from? For my part, the more I have used those words over nearly 40 years, the more appropriate and expressive of my Masonic membership they have become. But even I got a shock when I entered a lodge room in Lincolnshire and discovered that they were only composed for our use about 130 years ago. They seem so much a part of the whole fabric of our activity that one might be forgiven for thinking that they had been there from time immemorial. A plaque telling us all about these opening and closing odes is placed on the wall of a room in the Lodge of Harmony in Boston, England. And the information which that plaque gives us is this. The words of Hail Eternal, by whose aid all created things were made, and Now the evening shadows closing, worn from toil to peaceful rest, were written by worshipful brother Walter Clegg, a member of the Royal College of Surgeons, past provincial Grand Warden of Lincolnshire, who was master of that lodge in 1859. whilst the music that usually accompanies them was composed 10 years later, in 1869, by Brother Walter B. Gilbert, Doctor of Music, who was then the organist of the same lodge. What this tells us is that there must have been a time when the words and the music that accompanied them were a different combination to those with which we are usually familiar. For example, we read in the Stamford Mercury, a newspaper for 1860, that at the ceremony of laying the foundation stone of the Masonic Temple at Main Ridge, Boston, Lincolnshire, on April the 20th, the whole occasion was commenced with a hymn written by Dr. Clegg for that event. It is not, of course, certain that this was the same hymn as the one which we know he composed as Master, Hail Eternal. But what we do know on that occasion is that the band was supposed to play the well-known tune, Martin Luther's Hymn. And Dr. Clegg voiced his disapproval of what they produced. Was it that they played the wrong music for his piece? Or is it that, being unfamiliar with the words in question, they played the accompaniment badly? We are not, unfortunately, able to say. What we do know is that 3 years later, on May the 28th, 1863, when the dedication of the same temple was due, and at the meeting of the Lincolnshire Provincial Grand Lodge, in the Assembly Rooms, Boston, Hail Eternal, by whose aid, was sung at the opening, and in the full three verses, with a Brother Keller at the piano as provincial grand organist. So, it's certain that the words of both odes were known and were thought appropriate for use in 1863. And they were obviously sung to a setting of music which was not that normally employed by many Masons today. It should not surprise us, therefore, if in visiting other parts of the country than our own, we come across settings of these same common odes in music that is different to the ones we use. We may remark on the difference, but we have no historical grounds on which to claim that they're using the wrong music. What is further of interest is that the composer of the 1869 tunes was only a joining member of Harmony Lodge in February 1868. But he was asked in January 1869, as the newly appointed organist, to compose suitable and original music for the closing hymn, note the singular. Whereas on the 8th of June that year, he was thanked in Open Lodge for the singularly able manner in which he has composed the tunes, plural, for the lodge hymns. It's thus clear that by the end of 1869 and since, we have had the combined words and music that we so naturally and easily sing. Not, of course, that either the words or the music are in any way obligatory, however widely they may be used. And Brother Colin Dyer, a past master of Quatuor Coronati Lodge, has rightly pointed out that, surprisingly, the tunes most commonly used for these odes, that is, St. Bees and St. Oswald, are both credited in hymns ancient and modern as being composed by the Reverend J.B. Dykes, which only goes to show that there is so much more to what meets the eye or the ear in our lodges than we ever thought of. Whilst speaking about these odes and their strictly non-authoritative use, it's as well to recognise that there is no precise rule as to when they should be sung. I have already suggested that the opening hymn is sung after the exhibiting of the warrant, or the subsequent opening of the lodge. But there are those who like to start the whole evening's proceedings with the hymn. In view of the hymn's contents, one wonders whether this is the best place, or whether it's not more suitable when all have shown themselves and declared themselves as Masons. Each lodge must work that one out for themselves. When it comes to the closing, it seems somehow odd to me that we formally shut away our secrets, sing the national anthem, and then begin to sing again about Masonic matters. Of course, I know we use in the hymn the words mystic arts and rites reposing, sacred in each faithful breast. And of course, the hymn is a useful cover for the usual procession forming to go out of the lodge. But it's one of the anomalies of our proceedings, since we do something quite different at the start. However, there are no rules, and each lodge presumably attempts to do what its forefathers thought right. I, for one, think the closing ode is a most touching and memorable piece, and needs the greatest reverence in its use. Another piece of music which is common in London lodges, and in those of most of the surrounding provinces, is that which accompanies the singing of grace after dinner. The introduction of this setting of some 16th century words seems to have been copied from the practice of the London livery companies, as does also the practice of slow hand clapping as the master enters the dining room. Such singing after dinner does at least avoid the frequent repetitiveness of a spoken thanks. But it has to be realised by those in the southeast of England that this is by no means a universal practice, and there should be no surprise when this form of grace after dinner is not used elsewhere. It's also worth mentioning here that if the national anthem has been sung, it will not normally be used again during the loyal toast at dinner. But that if it is used here, it should be sung immediately after the toast to the monarch and the craft has been announced, and before that toast is drunk or fired. The organist needs to be clear about this. The most common piece of music at the dinner table in Britain will be the master's song, which is normally sung at his installation. It is given, preferably by a singer who is a professional, even if not paid, after the toast is announced, but before the master replies. And the brethren remain seated throughout, except when they rise to sing the final chorus. For the benefit of those abroad who are not familiar with this song and its use, a short explanation of what happens will be useful. It may even be a check for those who are used to it. The singer stands at the far end of the room facing the worshipful master to start the song, and during the first verse walks with a glass in his hand towards the junior warden, who rises. Their glasses touch as he sings the words, "Here's to his health." For the second verse, the singer moves back to the centre, and then, as the verse proceeds, he moves similarly to the senior warden. For the third verse, he walks slowly up the room, or alongside a centre table sprig, towards the worshipful master, with the wardens coming round the tables to form a triangle around the master. As the song closes, the singer and wardens clink glasses with the master, who is usually standing on his chair. And all the brethren join in the last chorus and close with the repeated words, "Worshipful Master." It is music well used to imprint on the master's mind a memory which he is very unlikely ever to forget. The master's song is a very much older ancestry than the opening and closing odes already mentioned. We find it in the first book of Constitutions of 1723, which contained a collection of Mason's songs, including two, which were compiled by Dr. Anderson himself. This song at the master's installation was one of those, and he not only gives us the words, which reveal their early provenance, but interspersed the words with notes such as, "Stop here, to drink the health of the master and wardens of this particular lodge." And also, "Stop here, to drink to the glorious memory of emperors, kings, princes, nobles, gentry, clergy, and learned scholars that ever propagated the art." A timely reminder that our Grand Lodge beginnings saw no possible conflict between church and craft. The last song in this collection by Anderson is the Entered Prentice's Song, which is attributed by him to a Mr. Birkhead, deceased. Anderson was later to refer to the installation of Dr. John Desaguliers as Grand Master in 1719, when he forthwith revived the old regular and peculiar toasts and healths of the Freemasons. This song to the initiate comes from around 1710, when it was more commonly known as the Freemason's Health, and contained the well-known lines, "Let's drink, laugh, and sing. Our wine has a spring. 'Tis a health to an accepted Mason." For those who are familiar with Masonry as practiced in some of the provinces further away from London, it will be no surprise to hear of this song, for it is still used widely on first-degree nights, and is used at table much as the master's song is, albeit without the procession of singer and wardens, as in the latter. In view of its greater number of verses, such as the master's song once had, it is customary in my mother lodge, the oldest lodge in Derbyshire, for the verses to be sung, seated, by different members of the lodge from senior to junior, so that the new candidate is in a sense welcomed by this musical tribute, with its general chorus sung by all the brethren at the close of each verse. Its use in this way at table always serves to remind those present of what were more likely to have been the conditions of welcome in the 18th century, when the ceremony itself was conducted during and close to the dining table or festive board. It was here that the initiate was received, and here that he was seated as a new member of this fraternity. The music served to cement him in his place amongst his new brethren. It is in this same lodge in the Midlands, as in so many others round about, that there is also the stirring music that accompanies the greeting to special brethren or guests instead of or in addition to the Masonic fire that is customary in the south of England. The music accompanies the words, "Worthy Mason he, worthy Mason he, kingly craft and mystic tie, worthy Mason he." It's a song of no less ancient vintage than those offered to the master and apprentice Mason. And it is very moving to realize that we are here joining in music and words that must have echoed in lodge rooms for almost 300 years. There is another piece of music that might be referred to, though it's by no means universally used, and may by some be thought to be odd and out of place. It is the portion of the hymns sung in accompaniment to the toast for absent brethren, at a traditional time, say 9 p.m., or some such time as the hands of the clock are on the square somewhere in the world. I refer, of course, to the words, "Holy Father, in thy mercy, hear our anxious prayer. Keep our loved ones, now far distant, 'neath thy care." Or those of the seafaring hymn, "Eternal Father, strong to say." One possible origin of this latter hymn may have been its being employed by the Amity Lodge of Poole, which struck up a close and continuing connection with brethren in Newfoundland, fellow workers in the profession of the sea. It's not necessary, of course, that any music should here be used. That it is, even in the most landlocked of Masonic meeting places in Derbyshire, and by brethren who are not usually the most proficient in musical matters, only serves to underline this abiding fact that music enables deep and lasting emotions to be more easily expressed. If I may refer just once more to the Tyrian Lodge in Derby, it's worth recording that a common use of music there is to close the whole lodge dinner proceedings with a triple singing of the junior warden's refrain, and to do it by involving the whole membership and finishing it with fire, using firing glasses. They sing together, "Happy have we met, happy have we been, happy may we part, and happy meet again." The effect is impressive and leaves one with a lasting thought. Harmony and music are an indispensable part of our quite ordinary lodge fabric and tradition. It's something we cannot dispense with, even if we would. It is a living part of our Masonic heritage.